CK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 14 Republicans voted with most Democrats to defeat the six-month temporary funding measure. House Speaker Mike Johnson told Fox News Hannity that while he's disappointed,
I don't think it's going to come to a shutdown. I believe we can get this job done.
Former President Trump's called for a government shutdown unless the package includes a law that requires proof of citizenship to vote. Republicans have not won New York in a presidential election since 1984, but the former president held a rally Wednesday on Long Island. His running mate, J.D. Vance, today will speak at the Business Roundtable. So will the Democratic vice presidential nominee, Tim Walz. The Federal Reserve went big with its first interest rate cut, down by half a percentage point, the first cut since 2020. Funerals in Lebanon for the 20 people killed yesterday in a second round of explosions targeting Hezbollah pagers and walkie-talkies. U.S. officials confirmed to ABC News Israel was behind the attack. This is ABC News. More testimony expected today in the Coast Guard hearing into the deadly implosion of a submersible on a tour to the Titanic. A mission specialist for OceanGate, the company behind the tour, will face questions. Five people died when the Titan imploded last year. Millions know him as Mr. Beast, but now popular YouTuber Jimmy Donaldson's facing a lawsuit over his reality show.
Five contestants are suing Donaldson's production company and Amazon, which acquired the streaming rights to Beast Game, claiming the show failed to provide fair wages. They also claim they endured unsafe working conditions, including harassment. The lawsuit says during taping this summer, several contestants ended up hospitalized, while others reported suffering physical and mental complications.
To ABC's Rihanna and Ali, it's being called a successful test flight after a hydrogen-filled balloon took off from the Gulf of Mexico, flew 19 miles into the sky. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Rock the vote with the Hope Oktoberfest Get Out the Vote Extravaganza Tour. Get to Hop and Barrel Brewing Tap Room in Hudson Wednesday, September 25th at 6 p.m. Fuel the movement for change, all while enjoying great beer and music from Tom Castle.
Long lost legacies of knights and kings and pawns.
And Tommy Benz.
When it all comes down to being right or wrong. Sometimes it's black or white.
The Hope Oktoberfest Get Out the Vote Tour is sponsored in part by Citizens Action of Wisconsin, Our Wisconsin Revolution, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, and Progress North. Register at ManaquaBrewingCompany.com.
Times like these, I see shades of gray.
The Hope Oktoberfest Get Out the Vote Extravaganza, presented by Minocqua Brewing.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Thursday is important for Wisconsin's hundreds of election clerks. It's the deadline to send absentee ballots to voters who have requested one. Plus, for municipalities that will be using ballot boxes, clerks can formally open them. Use of absentee ballots has surged since the start of the pandemic. You still have time to request one. After Thursday, once you request your absentee ballot, your clerk's office has 24 hours to mail it to you. Taylor Swift's endorsement of presidential candidate Kamala Harris may coincide with a 47.5% increase in Wisconsin voter registration. Taylor Swift endorsed Kamala Harris right after the presidential debate last week Tuesday. Since then, Wisconsin voter registration has seen an increase of more than 1,300, according to Vote.org. There is no evidence that Taylor Swift directly influenced this number. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers are playoff bound. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Lemons. Milwaukee clinched the NL Central and a playoff spot when the Chicago Cubs lost Wednesday afternoon. Then, the Brewers went ahead and beat the Phillies on a walk-off hit by Jake Bowers to cap off a huge day in Milwaukee.
And delivers. Swinging and a rocket to right. Base hit. They win.
Manager Pat Murphy said after the game that the team had to overcome adversity to win a championship.
No one in spring training would have said the Brewers will win the NL Central, except maybe a few guys in that room. And it just talks to one thing. This is a game about people.
There's more to play for now for the Brewers, who will take on Arizona for four games beginning tonight to wrap up a seven-game homestand. The Packers have quarterback Jordan Love back at practice, but head coach Matt LaFleur said that Love is limited in his work this week. The Packers take on Tennessee this Sunday at noon. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Some could have heavy rainfall or be on the strong side. We'll have highs in the low to mid 80s. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms are likely, some severe, lows around 60 degrees. For Friday, sunshine and a high around 79.
Currently, 66 degrees.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe joins us at 11:33. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:50. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Mattenair on air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Thursday morning, September 19th, 2024. 47 days until Election Day, and it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast, or through some of our social media video feeds, thank you for starting your day right here. I got a question for you, Greg Bach. I got a question for you.
What's that?
Are you ready for some playoff baseball? From your Central Division champion, Milwaukee Brewers. I think the crowd was a little wilder than that, but yeah, you get the idea.
You can smell October baseball in the air.
I like that. Well, yeah, that, you could do it like that. Yeah. The playoff gear is on the websites already. One of them says October ready. Another one of them says, we own the Central, because the Brewers are your Central Division champions again. They actually clinched in the afternoon. Thanks, Cubs, for losing again.
Oh, my God. I saw a tweet yesterday. It was so full of hope. This guy, I mean, I give it to the Cubs. I mean, they had a rough, rocky year, but honestly, they came back pretty well. I mean,
they did all right, but the start, they were so full of themselves. They'd gotten Craig Counsell, and everything looked right. Nobody was predicting the Brewers to do anything other than finish maybe in fourth place.
Oh, God, yeah.
I loved the countdowns with the magic numbers yesterday. Instead of somebody whose uniform number is actually zero, you know, they do different uniform numbers. It was a picture of Craig Counsell with a uniform 30, and they scribbled out the 3. So it's just Craig Counsell and a 0.
Oh,
I'm like,
okay.
That's some serious trolling right there. But it worked. It worked. We're here. We're atop. I like it. It's we again.
Yeah, exactly.
We are the champions.
I saw the tweet goes, here's where the Cubs catch and pass up the Brewers. Cubs have won 9 of the last 11 series. They've played in 9 of their last 12 games. Cubs are on fire, and they circle all the games the Brewers just dominated on in the past week. And I just tweeted, womp womp.
I saw that. I thought that was masterful. Loved it. So we're happy today. We stayed up a little bit past our bedtime to see the celebrations. But I was, you know, again, it was a very happy thing because it's been a very happy season.
Yes.
It's been, you know, definitely had its ups and downs. But you watch this. Again, I've mentioned the Cubs losing, so we already had clinched. But you wanted to go out, you know, you wanted to finish the day with a win. And so you do it with a walk-off. Jake Bowers, RBI single, bottom of the ninth inning, and the Brewers are winners over Philadelphia 2-1, which also, by the way, kept the Phillies from securing their own playoff berth. The Brewers were the first to clinch a playoff berth in baseball. Fastest they've ever done it by date and by games. It was only game number 151 had been completed when they clinched the division. So there's still plenty of baseball left. So don't get hurt, guys.
Yeah.
And don't get cocky either.
There it is.
But we're in, and we just have to keep chasing the Dodgers for these last few games to hopefully get a first round bye. Mr. Bach.
Pat, yeah. I have a question for
you. You have your hand raised. Please go right ahead.
Dude, I have a question for you. So today after the shows are done and I have to go into Milwaukee for an appointment, I have to pass the stadium to get to this place. I stop in?
Of course you stop in. Now, who knows, they may be out of stuff by the time. I mean, I was looking on the website last night, and the things are a little pricey these days. I mean, a division champion shirt on the website was going for $35.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I could do it. The problem is that, and I can't remember how far back this was, because we've been in the playoffs, five of the past 7 years, whatever it's been. But I think it might have been 2018, but maybe 2019 or something like that. I ordered a playoff shirt off the interwebs. And it came back with the imprint was basically off center, like 2 inches to the left, like just weird and like a little bit crooked, and the size seemed off. And I was like, no, if I'm going to get this stuff, I'm going to get it in person. I'm going to go to like Shields here in Eau Claire. So I would highly recommend that you actually stop by and pick up a little something for yourself and maybe a little something for any friends that you work with, rather than getting these things
I wouldn't know. I don't know what size my friends wear. So it's like, I mean, I don't know.
Oh, 4X. And then I can just, 4X? Take it in. I just take it in from there. I just take a scissors and, a piece of yarn and I take it from there. So we're good.
Gotcha.
We have some newsy things to talk about today, and one of them is rather serious. We're going to play some audio from a news conference this week at the state capitol that illustrates how Republican politicians and Republican law enforcement officers are working to intimidate local elections officials, frighten voters, and undermine public confidence in election security. So we'll get into that. We'll have our visit with Joe Zepecki, who will look at the desperation tactics surrounding the increasing amount of conservative attacks on immigrants, many of whom are quite law-abiding, just want to work hard and don't want to be harassed for who they are. And then in our second hour, our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good, the opposite of voter suppression is civic engagement and voter enthusiasm. And there is a group in Door County that works to do that. We'll get an update from Northern Door Activism, a group that organized in Door County after the Dobbs decision about the ways that they're trying to make a difference in that part of the state between now and November. And we will be joined at the end of the program today by Dominic Salvia, whose new afternoon show is heard weekdays at 4 o'clock here on the Civic Media Radio Network. So looking forward to talking to Dom. First time we've had him on the morning airwaves here. Along the way, you can call or text us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can call that number. You can send a text message to that number. But you can also call or text us through the Civic Media app. And you're going to need that app for the Go for the Green or Gold contest that we will be playing less than an hour from now, when you will be texting in a keyword that we're going to give you, and you can win either $100 cash or some gold jewelry, depending on what's up for grabs that particular hour. And if you want to learn more about the contest or the app or other ways to listen to us, head to civicmedia.us to learn more. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, and we put out a daily newsletter every weekday morning. Christina Laurie puts that together for us. One of the articles in there today is how Kamala Harris would make it easier to afford housing in Wisconsin, because she has a plan for affordable housing. It's amazing what you can do when you put some thought into problems and solutions, where you can have plans for affordable housing and for health care and for job creation, as opposed to, round up all the brown people and send them to the border. That's, it gets you some votes, but it's not really a plan. So to learn more about Kamala Harris's housing plan, head to our daily newsletter. Meanwhile, up on social media, search for Up North News WI on social media. You can find out that the first day of fall is quite literally just around the corner. Colors are starting to change, leaves are starting to fall, and the Travel Wisconsin Fall Color Report will tell you when autumn hues will be at their peak, and we have a link to that on our website, or on our social media feeds, rather. Again, search Up North News WI on Facebook or on Instagram. On TikTok, search for Up North News and find things there. Mr. Bach, I have not seen, and I wonder if you have by chance at all, we know that Vice President Kamala Harris is going to be in Madison later tomorrow. I don't know that I've seen any update. Have you, as far as time, place, special guests, anything like that? Because I'm not seeing it, which, by the way, is typical these days. We're not getting these things till pretty last minute.
Yeah. Yeah. It's we're basically just waiting. It's location, Madison, 3 to 7 p.m. at
enter location here.
You know, it's like that kind of thing. Like,
yep.
All we know is it's going to be her. And I have to imagine this is going to be, as the kids say, a humdinger.
Oh, it's no doubt. And I think that's part of it, too, is they're building the anticipation by not telling you too soon, you know, who's going to be there. There is going to be a big party. The party basically already took place earlier this week to be, you know, videotaped, and then they're going to edit it and play it in just a couple of weeks here. It's a birthday party for the first, America's first, rock and roll president. And, of course, people of my age will know you're talking about Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yes.
I understand that that older people or that younger people would be like, what? What? Jimmy Carter turns 100 on October 1st.
Yeah, he does.
And earlier this week at a theater in Atlanta, a range of stars from the stage, screen, sports, paid tribute to the former president just ahead of his 100th birthday, meant to highlight Jimmy Carter's emphasis on human rights and his love of music as a universal language. And I mean, that's the thing that people forget, is that all those years ago, he was, I want to say 54 years old or something like that when he was elected president. And I mean, he was the first one to really bring rock and roll into the White House, you know, being a much younger person than many of the other people who've held that office. And it was the mid-70s, and it was, you know, it was a good time.
Yeah.
Those crazy years pre-Ronald Reagan. now, of course, the former president was not there. He remains in hospice care at his home in Plains, Georgia. But there were people that could not help but put something together. Chuck Leavell from the Allman Brothers Band.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Campaigned with Jimmy Carter back in 1976 and said he really was a rock and roll president, but more than that, he always understood music as something that brings people together. And if there's one thing that Jimmy Carter has always been about, it was about bringing people together. You also had NDRE singing this week. The B-52s, who formed in Athens, Georgia, sang Love Shack. The Atlanta Symphony Chamber Chorus brought out both classical and patriotic songs. Former President Barack Obama provided a video message talking all about the president's great taste in music, pop, rock, gospel, country, jazz, classical, and hip hop. And all of this, again, was taped to be shown, I believe, on a public television station or public TV network on October 1st on the president's actual 100th birthday. Yes, it'll be done by Georgia Public Broadcasting on October 1st. Pause here and unpack some of the news when we come back, wherever you're listening around Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites. and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar. Something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Some big ideas being shared at the Cap Times Idea Fest in Madison. Civic Media is proud to be a part of it and will broadcast the one-on-one discussion with Liz Cheney. Hear why the former Republican Party leader does not support Donald Trump and more on Friday, September 20th at 7:30 p.m. Coverage featuring Liz Cheney live from Idea Fest, Friday night, September 20th at 7:30 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass, though.
Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media radio network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Diana Ross had left the Supremes by this day in 1970, but she went to number one with her first solo hit, Ain't No Mountain High Enough, again this day, 54 years ago. Much more in today's history lesson coming up in just a bit. Back to the Brewers for a second. Of course, they roll on with the rest of the regular season, and that includes starting a new home series tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks, 6:40. First pitch pregame at 6:05. On WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WISS in Oshkosh. Quarterback Jordan Love engaged in some limited practice for the first time since injuring his left knee, but the team wouldn't say much more about how much he did or how things are looking for an eventual return. One of the challenges facing Love is the likelihood that he will be playing with a brace on his knee, but Love noted that he's done that before when he had a meniscus injury during his college career at Utah State. Now, assuming Love isn't quite yet ready to play on Sunday, Malik Willis would take the field, and he will be facing his former team. I mean, really former. The Packers acquired Malik Willis from Tennessee just 3 weeks ago for a seventh-round draft pick next year, again, Sunday noon for the Packers at Tennessee. All right, in terms of unpacking some of the news for today, I wanted to come back to a press conference that we didn't have time to talk about yesterday. It had taken place on Tuesday at the state capitol. And in it, ostensibly, it was organized by a right-wing group to talk about a referendum that's going to be on the November ballot. Yes, another constitutional referendum. We had referendums in April that Republicans in the legislature put on the ballot. August, something was put on the ballot that thankfully voters shot down. And now we've got another one for Thursday, or for November, where again, you have Republican legislators looking to gin up voter turnout rather than trying to compete on their ideas and on their candidates. Because once again, what they're putting on the ballot is essentially something that's already the law, but they're making a tweak to it. But the gist is this: to vote in this country, you have to be a citizen, with some very rare exceptions. There are some municipalities, none in Wisconsin, but there are some municipalities that let non-citizens vote in local elections, figuring, well, they live here, they pay taxes here, they work here, their kids go to school here. And so they do that. That's fine for them. But in much of the rest of the country, voting is for citizens only. And that's the case in Wisconsin. And yet it's going to be on the ballot again anyway. So this news conference was in part for people like Congressman Tom Tiffany to come to Madison and talk about this. But it also went off into other areas involving, quote unquote, election security. And it included an appearance by Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt. And we've talked about him on the program here before because of something that could charitably be called despicable and could realistically be called illegal because of what he did. What he did, in my interpretation, was strong arm. It started with him strong arming a couple of local clerks in Dodge County not to make drop boxes available, even though drop boxes are legal in the state of Wisconsin. They were struck down for a short time by a right-wing state Supreme Court. They were reallowed by a now progressive-controlled state Supreme Court. But through an extremely narrow reading of the law, and I mean extremely narrow, the Dodge County Sheriff went to a couple of clerks and said, you know, it just doesn't seem to me that you can really have these drop boxes in a way that would abide by every letter of the law. And the first couple of clerks said, yeah, okay, we won't do drop boxes. And I, of course, had some words to say about it at that time. I come to find out in this press conference this week that now every local election clerk in Dodge County has, quote unquote, agreed with the sheriff to not make drop boxes available in Dodge County. You know, Dodge County, that hotbed of voter fraud, where apparently they're stuffing the ballot boxes in so many ways with so many mules that they have to not use them even though they're legal. And when I say mules, I'm using the term of where somebody would like stuff a ballot box with, you know, 10 ballots or 100 ballots, and you don't know which ones are real and which ones aren't. It doesn't happen. There was a movie, a so-called documentary after the 2000 election called, I think it was called 2000 Mules, widely debunked, showing that there was not a problem with mules. And the only reason I bring it up is to say that the only real mule we have had in Wisconsin that almost happened was Ron Johnson was almost a mule for the fake electors' ballots from Wisconsin and Michigan. He was within moments of being a mule for those fake electors' ballots and bringing them to Vice President Mike Pence on the floor of Congress, a joint session on January 6th, 2021. Thankfully, Mike Pence and his staffer said to Ron Johnson and his staffer, do not bring those over here. We do not want them. We are not conspiring with Donald Trump in his attempt at a coup. That's as close as we've come to mules. But because the Dodge County Sheriff still wanted to raise the specter of possible mules, he is now convinced, and again, I say that in quotes, because imagine a sheriff comes to you and says, well, it's my interpretation. And by the way, he's not from the Department of Justice. I don't know his legal training, but he has interpreted the law and appointed himself as the ultimate election authority that has removed that option. So in our next hour, we're going to play some audio from that press conference and respond. And I'm going to tell you how I think the clerks should have responded to the Dodge County Sheriff, along the lines of, get out of my office before I report you to the Department of Justice, and we'll look at the Wisconsin statutes that the Dodge County Sheriff is tiptoeing alongside, to put it mildly. That's coming up, and we'll hear from Tom Tiffany as well, because of, oh, and the Fond du Lac County District Attorney Eric Toney. All of them essentially trying to intimidate, if not clerks, then voters, to say, oh, you know, again, my interpretation, maybe you've had a speeding ticket. Maybe you shouldn't vote. You could be jailed. I mean, it's a tactic as old as time, and they're still trying it again right here in Wisconsin. Talk to Joe Zepecki about attacks on immigrants by Republicans next. You're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Well, you're seeing how dry it is around Wisconsin in the month of September. That dry weather causing issues with transportation on the Mississippi River. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Yeah, water levels are down on the Mississippi River and its tributaries. This is the third year in a row where our transportation artery has been compromised. Mike Steenhook is executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition, and he says this low water level is felt in the marketplace a couple different ways.
Number one is the ability to put a lot of tonnage in individual barges. And then number two, the ability to attach multiple barges all together to form one single unit. And then you have the towboat pushing it from the back. And when you have low water conditions, it has an impact on channel depth and on channel width. And so you no longer can put as much tonnage per barge because you're concerned about scraping the bottom, even having a grounding. And then when you have less water, the shipping channel becomes more narrow. So you don't have the luxury of attaching all these barges together to form one single unit.
Mike Steenhook, executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition, explaining some of the details that they've got to work around when water levels are this low on the Mississippi River and their tributaries. Markets in overnight electronic trade on a Thursday morning, still in the red ink. Numbers are next.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empowered Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story Contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Well, yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained another 5¾ cents to 262¼. 40-pound block cheese down 3¼ to 24½. Double A butter dropped 8, back down to $3.50 per pound. This morning in Chicago, the October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 3, 23.57 a hundredweight. December corn's down 2 at 4.11. November beans are unchanged at 10.14. And December wheat's down a nickel at 5.71. There's your market update on a Thursday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Some could have heavy rainfall or be on the strong side. We'll have highs in the low to mid 80s. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms are likely. Some severe, lows around 60 degrees. For Friday, sunshine and a high around 79.
Currently, 66 degrees.
Make a difference in your community today. Find the perfect volunteering opportunity for you at volunteerwisconsin.org or by getting in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center. There are so many ways to get involved and make an impact. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
Man, you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old and as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, it's Thursday, so we make our popcorn pick of the week, and David Desimone, director of the Black Point Estate in Lake Geneva, joins the show to talk about Victorian spiritualism.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
6:34 on this Thursday morning, and we begin with the taste of victory as Joe Zepecki and his bold prediction that the next time we would visit, the Brewers would have clinched. Now, it took until the night before.
Yeah, but we didn't give ourselves a lot of margin for error there, did we?
No,
this was not
no.
like a plus 3 or 4 points in a poll.
Did not. But you know what? In keeping with the theme of close elections, close races, a win is still a win, even if you.
Amen.
Just...
And I'm going to watch some stress-free baseball on Sunday. We have tickets. We're going to go. I hope they're not sitting everybody because I want to see what Garrett Mitchell did the other night in person. Where he was in like the 99th percentile of speed on a triple. Just watching that man run, it's like watching a deer in a meadow. My God, is that glorious.
They really are. They're just such a fast team. I mean, even the other day, somebody was kind of highlighting Bryce Durang and how fast he is to go cover first.
Yeah.
You know, these kids do not take the easy way out. You know,
what we tell our kids is if you're going to make a mistake, you might as well make it going a million miles an hour. And that's this Brewers team too. God love them.
That's exactly what it is. So with that, let's carry on to some of the more normal political and newsy stories that we do throughout the course of the day. I want to start, Joe, with this Capitol news conference that was held back on Tuesday. And it involved Congressman Tom Tiffany. It involved the Dodge County Sheriff and some other officials. And, of course, the gist of it was about this November referendum that is targeting non-citizen voters. And as I've said already, the Wisconsin Elections Commission went back and did exhaustive research just how many cases of non-citizen voting were referred for potential prosecution since 2019, and the number is 3. It's 3, Joe. So why are we doing Capitol press conferences? Why are we doing constitutional referendums? Why is the Dodge County Sheriff basically, arm twisting his local clerks to no longer offer drop boxes? What is going on here with all of this essentially voter intimidation?
Well, there's a lot going on, but I want to start with something. The reason this is preposterous is not because there were 3 referrals. It's because they are referred for prosecution because this is already illegal.
Good point.
You are not a citizen, you can't vote. And if you try to and you get caught, you're going to be held accountable in the same way that you or I, if we try to vote twice in an election, we will be caught and we will be held accountable. And the reason that you're able to catch these things is because there is what's called defense in depth within our election systems. There are lists upon lists, and they are double checked and triple checked. And it is impossible to commit certainly large scale voter fraud in this country. But even at the micro level, when people vote twice, they get caught. When somebody votes by mail and then forgets that they did that because it's 5 weeks later and they show up at the polling place, try to vote in person, they're told, actually, we have a record here that you already voted, and they're turned away.
Yes.
And so what this is, in my view, is they are laying the groundwork and setting the predicate for Stop the Steal 2.0. And it is the job of programs like this and well-intentioned citizens to stop the steal 2.0. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the way we do that is we call malarkey on this nonsense. For a Dodge County sheriff to say, I know better than the state Supreme Court of the great state of Wisconsin, is ridiculous. Yes, sheriff is an elected position, and the people of Dodge County elected you to be their sheriff. They did not elect you to the state's highest court. They elected the justices who have looked at this and declared it constitutional. And so we have to buckle up for this and the rest of the nonsense. And we're seeing other nonsense. We are seeing just in the last week, frivolous complaints about Green Bay and Racine and the way that they conducted the April election. Now, you might ask yourself, why those two counties? Why now? Well, the answer to the first question is Green Bay and Racine are two of the five municipalities, which maybe it's more than five, but a limited number of municipalities that have central count, which means there's lots of votes cast, and therefore it takes a little bit longer to process all of them. But the why now is the tell. These elections were held in April, which means we've gone month after month after month where these so aggrieved, so concerned citizens who just want integrity in our elections didn't give a rip about it in June, July, or August. But now that we're less than 50 days from an election, suddenly they think it's time to relitigate the last one. They are telling on themselves, and they are doing it to distract us from the fact that the candidates and the political party that they want to support don't actually have solutions. They don't actually have values and political ideas that are shared by a majority of the state or the country. And so rather than lose a debate on how to fix our immigration system, rather than lose a debate about how to support families from birth through, you know, retirement and old age, they would rather divide and distract us. And that is what they're doing. And it reminds me of one of my favorite sayings. I think I'm stealing this from Aaron Sorkin, who used it in Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. And so I asked you, Pat Kreitlow, how do you win at three card Monty?
How?
You get someone to play.
That's
and so that's the, like, that's what we got to keep in mind, is we can go down these rabbit holes and chase these, you know, chase these crazy things that they're throwing out there, whether it's drop boxes in Wisconsin or Haitians in Ohio, or we can continue telling the story about the path that this country is on, where the economy is improved enough and inflation has cooled enough that for the first time in 4 years, the Fed cut interest rates. The macroeconomists and the quants, they have to say, you know what? We're less worried about inflation. We're more worried about the job market going forward, because we've been running hot and we've been creating a lot of jobs and people are working, and that's really good. So we're going to cut rates. That is a good sign. It's another indicator that what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have done for the last 4 years has been working. We're never going to say that it's worked for everybody fast enough, but it works a heck of a lot better when you invest in communities, invest in families, than what Donald Trump and his MAGA Republican allies do, which is just cut taxes for those at the top and hope that it comes out in the wash. They don't want to have that conversation either. We got to stay focused, eyes on the prize, on issues like abortion and access to reproductive health care, on issues like what would happen under with Obamacare. Just this week, we had the Republicans saying they hate the Medicare price negotiation policies in the Inflation Reduction Act. My God, this is the most popular part of the Inflation Reduction Act that allows the government to negotiate. Not to set the price, just to negotiate with the drug companies. And these Republicans in Congress are going, oh, that's going to go. If we win Congress, if Trump wins, that's going. That's on the chopping block.
You're literally rooting for higher drug prices.
Yes. It's insane. And so, of course, they would rather scare people and divide people and other people. Don't fall for it. Don't accept the invitation to play three card Monty.
So do you think that this was always the playbook, or are we seeing things ratchet up the way they are out of more of a desperation move? They've seen how Democrats appear to be making gains. The National Party is sinking more into state legislative races. Kamala Harris is doing well. Tammy Baldwin's always done well. There's now talk that Kristen Lierley and Becca Cook may be doing better than anybody expected them to do in the 8th and in the 3rd districts. So was this always going to be their plan, or is it born more of recent desperation?
It's such a smart question, because if you rewind not that long ago, in the week of the Republican National Convention, Donald Trump thought this was a slam dunk, man. He thought, hey, we got it in the bag, right? They were, forget measuring the drapes. They were like loading up the moving van to move, probably not those stolen classified documents, but, you know, all of his golden bronzed putters back into 1600. And now they're going, holy crap. The tide has turned. It's not Joe Biden. It's Kamala Harris. And she's ascendant, and her momentum has continued to grow, not just since her convention, but since she led him around by the nose at that debate and, you know, baited him and he took it time after time. And what we, so now what we're seeing is an entirely different political reality where, yeah, I think you can draw a pretty straight line between that and the fact that all of a sudden they are trying to flood the zone with, starts with an S word, because they realize this is not going to be a coronation like they thought it would be a couple months back.
Right. And so you've got to scare people where you can, which is where you have Derek Van Orden bringing up, you know, one instance, however tragic, in Prairie du Chien. Again, the disproportion involved here, whether you're talking about criminal cases or voting, is such that that people need to understand the way this is being cherry picked out of a strategy of desperation. I got one other thing to ask you about. It's probably rather general here, but it deals with commercials being run by outside groups, sometimes with the candidate's support, for state legislature. And I'm going to use the example in the Chippewa Valley, where Jody Emerson's running in the 91st Assembly District, which used to be pretty much just the city of Eau Claire. It was very safe, Democratic. Now with the new maps, it has much more rural territory as well as Eau Claire. And so she's in a competitive race with a former TV news anchor. Where have I heard that before? Anyway, so if I'm not mistaken, it's the Republican Assembly Campaign Committee is running ads targeting Jody Emerson. And I'm sure these commercials are running elsewhere that say, Jody Emerson voted against the largest tax cut in state history, which, again, I haven't looked it up. Maybe you haven't either. But I've got to think that that's that once, twice, three times Republicans tried to pass a tax plan that gave so much of the benefit to the highest, wealthiest homeowners, that it was downright Trumpian.
And probably most of the members voted for it, and then Evers vetoed it, right? Or did the partial veto, because this was the one where he kept the tax breaks for the first three brackets, but not the top bracket. And so the challenge for these legislative campaigns is to get any oxygen at all in the midst of a competitive presidential and Senate race and congressional race. The further down it, the harder it is to get noticed. So do your homework. If you are a listener of this program, do your homework and talk to your friends. You're going to have to talk to them more about these races for the legislature than you are about the presidential. Everybody's got an opinion on Donald Trump. More people have an opinion on Kamala Harris than they do on Jody Emerson. So do your homework, especially on these legislative races, because the new maps give us a path to an actual legislature that actually responds to the will of the people. And that only happens if people do the work. I'm confident they will. And that's the like antidote to these 30-second ads that are just taking a kernel of truth and building the worst possible outcome from it.
I have to say, though, let's close briefly about legislative commercials. They come in all flavors, but I always like watching them. Some are very serious and you know, some are very professionally done. Some are very lighthearted. Jody Emerson's are like, you know, all over the neighbors going, hi, Jody. And I loved making mine in 2006 and in 2010. Have you worked on legislative commercials? And aren't they sometimes really enjoyable?
They are, you know,
because they're not slick. They're much more. Yeah, no. They're much more real. You know,
they're very homey. Yes. Is what I would call them. What my little background. I don't know if we ever talked about this, even in our hour-long specials with my better half. When I was 22 to 24, my first sort of professional big kid jobs after college in politics, I was a direct mail consultant for legislative candidates all over the country. Which means you went and like you took still photos for the mail when they were shooting the commercials. And sure. I was involved in races in Iowa and Colorado and Arizona and Connecticut and all over this great country. It was a great education. And yes, I agree with you that these legislative races are a unique animal, much like yourself.
Well, you have to be if you're going to either compete in or talk about things like this. Joe Specky, thanks again as always. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, man.
We're going to have today's history lesson coming up, and then don't forget to tune in for your chance to win a little after 7 o'clock. The Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest is coming up
right before Brittany Merlot's weather report here on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Heavy rain falling, seems I hear your voice calling, it's all right.
I will never, ever get tired of hearing Brooke Benton singing Rainy Night in Georgia. Brooke Benton was born this day in 1931. Passed away in 1988. He had a lot of early R&B hits in the 50s and early 60s. According to the history books here, he put like 50 songs on the Billboard charts, mostly R&B. But what most of us pop listeners know is his comeback in 1970 with this ballad. Also in today's history lesson, George Washington's farewell address was printed across America as an open letter to the public. The thing most cited about that farewell address from the general is that America should not fall for the temptation of going with a two-party system. Damn, that man was smart. All right, on this day in 1999, the Chicks, then the Dixie Chicks, the Chicks became the first country group in the history of the Billboard 200 album chart to have their album debut at number one. The album was Fly. Here's one of the singles off it. Along with Cowboy Take Me Away, there was Goodbye Earl, If I Fall, You're Going Down With Me, Sin Wagon, Ready to Run, just so many. It's just top to bottom. Just a great album.
The album is fantastic.
Well, I mean, if you could listen to it, they were canceled, you know, erased from memory back in, what, 2003 by the group that now is looking to, you know, burn books and things like that. So you can listen to this, but don't let the wrong people, you know, hear that you're listening to the Chicks.
Nah, tell everybody. Tell everyone.
Yes, please. Yes, play it loud. On this day in 1982, there was a computer bulletin board system at Carnegie Mellon University.
And I don't know how they figured this out, but a guy named Scott Fallman became the first documented user of emoticons by using a colon, a dash, and a parentheses to make a smiley face or a frowny face. The first emoticon. I got to figure somebody did that with, like, you know, their Smith Corona typewriter and stuff back in the day. But on what eventually became the interwebs, these were the first use of emoticons, because we have to give a name to everything.
Yeah. And then the next day, they posted their first negative comment.
I can completely see that. Happy birthday to Bill Medley, 84 years old today. Here's one of the classics from the Medley Brothers, or the Righteous Brothers, I should say. Now, while we play Bill there, I'm going to tell you also that I'm going to intersperse some of the National Day calendar stuff, because otherwise it gets tough to hit all these records back to back. So today, from a food standpoint, it's National Butterscotch Pudding Day. Something I couldn't get enough of as a kid, but I just don't. Now it just tastes like a sugar bomb. Don't think I could get that in.
That's why you have it every once in a while.
Yes, yep. Happy birthday to another music legend, Nile Rodgers. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Songwriter Hall of Fame. He went from Chic to Daft Punk. He is 72 years old today.
Dance.
One of the first pioneers of the chucking guitar style. Chucking, he said. His songs have been on albums that have sold more than 500 million copies. He's pretty good at this thing. Happy birthday to Frida Payne, a bit of a one-hit wonder, but she turns 82 years old today, and this was her big hit from 1970. This is also National Woman Road Warrior Day. So all the women who have jobs that have them on the road all the time, this day is for you. Thank you for all you do. This is Jimmy Fallon's birthday. The Tonight Show host turns 50 years old today. Here's another milestone birthday. Trisha Yearwood, another country music superstar. Trisha Yearwood turns 60 today. My question there is, when you're part of a superstar couple, as she is with Garth Brooks, and you have, as the saying goes, more money than God, what do you do for your birthday? You know, what do you get that person? Well, I know you already have your own tens of millions of dollars, so, you know, I made you a handwritten card rather than buy you anything.
I bet you Garth comes through every year with something very sweet.
I bet he does,
too. He also refers to her as Miss Yearwood.
That's true. Yes. Good on him. This is also National Balance Day, which is meant to call attention to inner ear and brain disorders that would affect your balance. And I will tell you again, but once again, refuse to participate in National Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Okay.
I'm waiting for Greg to take the bait, but he's decided to boycott it, too.
Yes. Are you serious?
Okay, good. Thank you. You're the good sport, and I'm the cranky old guy who won't talk like a pirate. Thank you. I needed that.
Okay. Way to take a stand there, Patrick.
Look, how often do you mock me for just trying to say things like, I don't know, what's the guy's name? 50 Cent, you know, the rapper and things. Stop, I get enough stop. With the things I try to say. So let's not throw talking like a pirate.
I figure with the yacht rock and the boat themes and all the stuff, it'd be right up your alley, but, you know.
It would be, but it's early. You know, we haven't had that many pina coladas yet. So in the second hour of Up North News Radio, we're going to play some audio from a state capitol news conference about ways that Republicans continue to try to intimidate voters and local.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll be live on location from Cheese Days in Monroe. We will bring you all the action, yodelers, and more. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.